Fathers are often known for trying to multitask. Who's better multitasking, men or women? The debate rages on. But fathers are known for trying to multitask, sometimes failing. Imagine how much trouble that junior can get in when dad is trying to cook dinner and watch him at the same time. Who knows what'll happen with the baby? One father said that he is good at multitasking. He can waste time, be unproductive, and procrastinate all at the same time. Another father said that multitasking for him is being able to mess up many things all at the same time. And we as humans, we have our limitations. We can try to do many things at the same time, but we fail. We don't do anything very well. God is very different from us. God's multitasking is infinite. God runs the entire universe. What a mouthful that is. He does it all perfectly at the same time. A couple of verses that talk about this. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says about God that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Everything in the universe, God is upholding it at the same time by the word of his power. Colossians 1:17 says about God, about Jesus, that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Things keep on going, keep on spinning, keep on existing, all because of the multitasking power of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to start this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll jump straight in, and we're going to read a story that is amazing as you read this chapter. All the things that are going on that happen just right, and they show the sovereignty of God. I've entitled the message this morning, Saul, Samuel, a servant, and the sovereignty of God. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into 1 Samuel. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate our fathers. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate you. Thank you for being the perfect example to us of a father in every single area. And I pray that you'd help us to emulate you, help us to honor our fathers better in our nation, in our churches. And I pray that as we open your word, that you would bless our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we're going to get into chapter 9, but at the very end of chapter 8, it said, "And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city." And so he is going to make them a king. Chapter 9 is the story of Samuel giving a king, or starting down the road to giving a king to Israel, the story of Saul. We're introduced to King Saul for the first time. And again, as I said, as we read through this chapter and many other stories in the Bible, it's almost like you're reading fiction, where the writer of the story gets to pick all the details and everything lines up just right because the author is being able to pick all the details. And that is exactly what's happening with God. God has handpicked all of the details before they happened. Everything in all of human history. This is a great verse just before we get into 1 Samuel 9. In Acts 15, verse 18, it says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." And so everything that happens that we're going to read here in chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, it is so perfect the way it all blends together because God has handpicked all the details, and he did that from the foundation of the world before Saul or Samuel or the nation of Israel were ever even around. So let's read about this. We read verses 1 and 2 last week, but let's read them to get a running start. "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people." And so we're introduced to Saul, and we start this story of the sovereignty of God with, number one, in verses 3 through 5, we see Saul's errand. We see that his father sent him on a journey, sent him with a task to do, he and a servant. And let's see it there in 1 Samuel 9, verses 3 through 5. It says, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. So Saul was sent on this mission. These asses, these donkeys were lost, and he is supposed to go and find them, and he searches in vain, here and there, high and low. How were these donkeys lost? The passage does not say. It just starts off by saying that they were lost. Maybe they broke out of their pen. Maybe somebody forgot to close and lock the pen they were in. Maybe somebody broke them out of their pen. Maybe somebody didn't tie them up correctly and they escaped. Maybe an angel came down from heaven and opened the pen and let them out. It doesn't say exactly how the donkeys were lost. But as we said earlier, we know that God was the one who caused them to be lost. And God often does things that we think are bad, that we think are a negative circumstance to accomplish his purposes. God can do great things through a flat tire. God can do great things from an injury, through a disease. We look at it on the outset and it's awful, it's horrible, but God has a purpose and a plan. Several years ago, in 2003, there was a hurricane that came through Florida and the panhandle of Florida, and it did some damage there in the Pensacola area and the surrounding areas. And my father and my brother and I traveled down to Pensacola. There was a girls' ministry there that my father was familiar with, and we had been familiar with for many years. And we went down, took some chainsaws and equipment, and we were going to help them to clean up a lot of the hurricane damage at this school. And while we were there, this is where my wife Melanie lived and worked with her family. And God allowed us to be there at the same time and to meet through the circumstances that were negative. Now, nobody likes the hurricane. Nobody likes the damage and the cost of all the cleanup and so forth. But God used that to bring us together, and here we are, 15 years, 7 kids later, and so many wonderful blessings that have come that started with a negative circumstance. Oh no, a hurricane, this is awful. But God brought great beauty out of those ashes. And I am the recipient. Melanie, not so much, but I am the recipient of the great blessing there. And so we see Saul's errand. God started by causing the asses to be lost, and Saul starts to travel and find them. He comes up empty, and that leads us to number two, the servant's idea. Saul happened to take a servant with him who happened to have a good idea at this point. We see it in 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. It says, and he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. We're beginning to see the circumstances line up and pile up and God to orchestrate things. First of all, the donkeys were lost and God sent Saul on this mission. He just so happened to take a servant with him, who just so happened to know this advice and had a good idea. Let's go, and I've heard that there is a seer, there's a prophet, a man of God, and everything he says come to pass. Let's ask him if he knows where the donkeys are. Such a good idea that he had. God will often, as he often uses negative circumstances to accomplish his will, God will often put near you someone who at just the right time will have a good bit of advice, something very needed, a piece of wisdom. And God just so happened to line things up here. God also likes to use the lowly. Here he uses a common servant to give great advice. There was another time, it reminds us of another time that God used a servant to give wonderful advice, similarly about a prophet. In 2 Kings chapter 5, it's the story of Naaman. Verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" God knew just what he was doing when he brought this servant girl. She was captured, and that was awful. But all of a sudden, she's in the right place at the right time. Naaman is a leper, and she knows someone who has the answer for his leprosy. It's God and a prophet of God that would be able to give healing to him. And God knows how to place the right people in the right places at the right time. And by the way, when that's you and me, when God places you somewhere, and all of a sudden you have an opportunity, we need to take advantage of those opportunities. We need to be always ready to speak, to point someone to the Lord. If there's somebody that doesn't know what to do in a situation, first thing on our lips ought to be, "Hey, why don't you pray to God? God knows everything. God can do anything. Why don't you pray?" Look for opportunities to point people toward the gospel, to point people toward trusting in God, to point people toward the truths of Scripture. Always look for those opportunities, because God will place you in them. God will also place other people around you that can give you those bits of good advice. And so we see, number two, the servant's idea. Number three is that we see in verses 11 through 14, we see the sacrifice's timing. It turns out that Samuel was going to be at the place, and he was going to be offering a sacrifice. We pick it up in verse 11. "And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens." Maybe we could say they just happened to find young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him." And they went up into the city. And when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them, for to go up to the high place. And so as Saul and his servant have this idea, let's go find the seer, they went, but they didn't know where to look exactly. And it just so happened that there were these young ladies that were passing by just as they were passing through. And they asked them, "Is the seer here?" And they said, "You're in luck. It just so happens that he came to the city today. He's from somewhere else. He's been somewhere else. But he just came today because there is a sacrifice today. And he's come to bless the sacrifice and have a feast." And so you see the great timing of this sacrifice. It lined up perfectly. It lined up exactly in the sovereign plan of God. And this brings us to number four, the saying of God. That God's will involved circumstances, it involved people, and here we see a very direct, obvious piece of God's plan, is that God uses his own voice to speak to Samuel. We see this in verses 15 through 17. It says, "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. So this is the part of the story where God starts to tie some things together for us. And we see that it's not just random happenstance and coincidence. It never was, but we begin to see that it wasn't. Because God's direct voice, God's direct hand shows up here. Sometimes God uses circumstances to accomplish his will, and sometimes he uses his voice and his word to direct us. We need to stay in God's word day by day, because you don't want to miss anything. I wonder how many times God had something to say to us, to warn us, to direct us, to give us wisdom for the day, a big event that was going to happen. God was going to give us a little push in the right direction, but we didn't open his word. We didn't pray. We didn't hear from God. And so we just went on forward with our own wisdom, with our own understanding, and maybe we failed. Maybe we lacked what we really needed. We need to be in God's word as often as possible so that we can avail ourselves to every opportunity to hear his voice. God has a message for you and me today. Right now we're in his word. He's speaking to us. But every single day, God has a message for you, directly for you in his word. It was written so many thousands of years ago. It was really written in eternity past in the mind of God. But he wrote it for you and me today. He is speaking to us. And we need to listen to the voice of God. Sometimes God sends people to do and accomplish things. And sometimes God sends people to us so that things can be accomplished. Notice the way that you would have expected at the end of chapter 8, it said that God told Samuel, I want you to make Israel a king, make them a king. And so he basically goes home and waits, who am I supposed to anoint? And God says, you would think that God would send him to anoint someone, but God says, I'm going to send him to you. You just sit here and wait, and I'm going to bring him to you, the very person. And God's orchestrating all of this. And this is the way that God often does things. I mentioned earlier about going down to Pensacola. Now, Melanie was at the girls' school, and she was surrounded by girls. There were no prospects really there at the girls' school. No one really that close for her to marry. But God brought me in shining armor on a white horse. No, I just came with some chainsaws and tried to do my best. But God has a way when many people would have said, no, what are you doing at a girls' school? You're not going to find anyone to marry there. But God can allow the right person to come in abnormal and unorthodox ways and circumstances. This is the way that God likes to work. Not in the way that we think makes the most sense, but this is the way that God likes to work. And so we see God's voice here. He says, I'm going to bring Saul. I'm going to bring just the person tomorrow. He gives him that heads up. And that leads us to number 5, Samuel's revelation. Samuel then is speaking to Saul, and he opens his eyes to the truth of what's about to go on in his life. We see it in verses 18 through 21. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. That sounds a little bit creepy. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? In other words, who does Israel want to be their leader, their king? They want you. And they don't even know it yet, but they want you. And verse 21, and Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? So Saul is thinking, who are you? Samuel starts to say these things. Basically, Samuel, when they walk up to him, Samuel says, Yes, welcome. I've been expecting you. Come in. And Saul's like, this is creeping me out. Maybe I should go home. And so the circumstances are all starting to line up, and Samuel says things that are starting to blow Saul's mind. Come on in. I've been expecting you. We're going to have a feast. Then I'm going to tell you everything in your heart. And by the way, the donkeys you're looking for, they've already been found. Don't worry about it. And he's thinking, who is this guy? And so Samuel's revelation is very striking for Saul. This reminds us, by the way, of the time that God brought Peter and Cornelius together. And he spoke to both of them separately and brought them together. I want to read this passage through a series of visions and other people and other events. Acts 11, verse 13 is just a little section of it. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa. This is God appearing to and speaking to Cornelius. Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. God had orchestrated, in the way that things just so happened to line up, God gave a vision to Peter that people were going to come and he was going to go with them. God gave a vision to Cornelius that he was going to send, and Peter was going to come and tell him words about salvation, the gospel, how to be saved. And so God has a way of speaking to people and lining things up and bringing them together. And this leads us to number six, the supper's preparation. The sixth element in God's sovereign plan here that was showing that he was in charge is that when they showed up, there was this feast already prepared that was ready with his name on the seat of the place of honor. 1 Samuel 9, verse 22. It says, and Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house, and they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. And so in the next chapter, it'll show the actual anointing that Samuel is going to reveal things to Saul. But the last piece that we see here is that Saul showed up and the supper was totally prepared. It was ready. It was ready made. And he thought, how did you know I was coming? And it turns out it's because he was the seer and he saw. God told him the day before, God had given Samuel the word of the Lord, and now he is revealing it to Saul. And so we see all these events line up. I'll just read through those things very quickly. So the donkeys were just so happened to be lost on this day. And instead of going for himself or just sending servants, Kish just so happened to ask Saul to go and find the donkeys. And he just so happened to take a servant with him who just so happened to have a good idea about looking up Samuel. And then they just so happened to come across women who knew where to find Samuel and who knew that today was the day he was going to be there. And then they come across Samuel who just so happened to have heard from God the day before that God was going to send Saul to him. And then they went up to the high place where they just so happened to already have the dinner laid out. And when you see these steps one after another, it screams the glory and the sovereignty of God, that God is arranging all these things, that God is like a great orchestra conductor. And he's just conducting all things and bringing them together in a beautiful way. Reminds us there are some other places in the Bible where we see God's great sovereign plan at work. Remember the story of Joseph. We won't turn there. But Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery one day when he was 17 years old. He went down to Egypt, where he just so happened to end up in Potiphar's house. He was wrongly accused of rape and was thrown into the king's prison, where he just so happened to meet the butler and the baker, who just so happened to have been there at the same time. They had both offended their lord, the Pharaoh, and they were there. They just so happened to have dreams in one night, and Joseph just so happened to be able to interpret those dreams. And they came to pass. The butler was restored. The baker was put to death. And the butler forgot about Joseph for 2 years. All of a sudden, one day, Pharaoh has a dream, and he told the dream. The butler just so happened to hear about the dream, who remembered Joseph in the prison, who would be able to interpret the dream, and he does. Joseph interprets the dream. He is elevated to second in command of Egypt overnight, where he just so happens to be during the famine, so that he just so happens to be able to deliver his own family and the entire nation of Israel from starving during the famine. And God knows everything that he is doing. Remember the story of Esther in the Bible, Queen Esther. King Ahasuerus had a wife that had disrespected him. So he had a beauty contest to pick another wife, and Esther just so happened to be one of the women in that contest, and she was chosen to be queen. Then a wicked man named Haman wanted to kill all of the Jews because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. So he hatched a plot to destroy them all. It just so happened that the night before they were to be killed, the king could not sleep. So he asked for the chronicles of the kingdom to be read. And it just so happened that they read the place where Mordecai had saved the king's life and nothing had been done. So Mordecai wanted to honor him, and he had Haman honor Mordecai and lift him up. Esther heard of the plot to destroy the Jews, and she told Ahasuerus that the people Haman wanted to kill just so happened to be her people and the people of the man that had saved the king's life, Mordecai. So Haman was hanged on the very gallows that he had just so happened to have recently constructed to kill all of the Jews that were meant for the Jews. There's a great verse in Esther 4:14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace, this is Mordecai speaking to Esther. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai noticed that it just so happens that you have come to the kingdom and been promoted to be the queen at just a time as this. He saw God's hand in all of this. There are no just so happens in our lives. It's all orchestrated by God. Remember the story of the man that was born blind in John chapter 9. I'll read verses 1 through 3. And as Jesus, I'll rephrase it. As Jesus passed by, as Jesus just so happened to pass by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There was a man that was born blind that was sitting there the day that Jesus just so happened to pass by, and their paths intersected, and Jesus gave him healing, gave him a great miracle. It was all orchestrated by God. Remember the story of Eliezer searching for a wife for Isaac. He traveled to a far land and came to a well, and he prayed that if a woman came and he asked for a drink, and she offered to give drink also to his camels, that would be the one that God intended for Isaac. And so it just so happened that the woman came that he asked was Rebecca, who just so happened to be a relative, a close relative of Abraham. Genesis 24:27, Eliezer speaking. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He knew there were no coincidences. It was no chance. But he says, I was in the way that God wanted me to be, and God led me just where I needed to go. God gives great direction and guidance in his sovereign plan. All these stories are so perfect that you can't make them up. But God did make them up. God ordained these things. God orchestrated them. And he does the same for you and me. Did you know that? Did you know that God has a great sovereign plan, not just for the people in the Bible that are the pillars and the patriarchs? God has a plan for every man, woman, boy, and girl. He has a plan for you, a sovereign plan. And he is orchestrating things. There are things that have passed, that have come to pass before you are even here. You have no idea about. They're going on behind the scenes. But God is perfect in his sovereign plan. Psalm 31:15 says this: "My times are in thy hand." Everything about us, every day, every circumstance, every situation that we're in, it's all in God's hands. Sometimes it may seem dark. Sometimes it may seem difficult. It's just part of God's plan. Sometimes it may seem unorthodox. Oh, I never would have thought it that way. But it's all in God's plan. Galatians 4 and verses 4 and 5 show the coming of Jesus and how all of the timing lined up perfectly. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God did this, and God does everything in the fullness of time. Everything happens not too late or not too early. It happens just when God ordains for it to happen. Sometimes you can feel like life has passed you by. An opportunity for a job or a house or a mate or whatever it may be. You think, oh, it's too late. God can't do it now. God is never late. His sovereign plan is always in the fullness of time. Just right. So three thoughts real fast and we're done. We're not going to preach another message. But three thoughts that we need to recognize. Number one, we need to praise God for his glorious majesty. When we see all these things in the Bible, in our own lives, just stop and lift up your eyes to heaven and say, God, I praise you for being able to do all of this, for knowing everything. Praise him. Number two, trust him. Don't worry about the situations that you're in. Don't think that you're not going to have enough, that it's too late. God will orchestrate these things. God loves, by the way, to do things at the 11th hour when everyone else has given up hope, to build our faith. So don't worry, but trust him. Praise him, trust him, and number three, walk with him. We need to have this God who knows everything and who can do everything. We need to have him on our side. Because just as he can orchestrate everything for your good and for your benefit, if you rebel against him, he can also orchestrate all the events of the universe to your detriment and to your judgment. So we need to see this great God, this sovereign God of the whole universe, and walk with him and obey him. Because if we rebel against him, he could turn to be our enemies. What a wonderful story. If we were to write this story, we couldn't have made up the details to fit together any better. And God orchestrates everything in the Bible and in your life. So know him and walk with him and see his hand. See his sovereign plan in your life as well. Let's pray together.